Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
One I'm sure is going to come up later is the issue of the 6 foot distance. And I made the statement that it just appeared and that got taken at like, I don't know what's going on. It just appeared. It actually came from the CDC. The CDC was responsible for those kinds of guidelines for schools, not me. So when I said that it just appeared, it appeared. Was there any science behind it? What I meant by no science behind it is that there wasn't a controlled trial that said, compare 6 foot with 3 feet with 10 feet. So there wasn't that scientific evaluation of it. What I believe.
So the idea there, and this is important to remember, is he's not saying that having distancing made no sense. He's not saying that it was a terrible idea. He's saying that the distinction between 6 feet or 3 feet or 9 feet didn't have good experimental data behind it, or didn't have what he would call science behind it. And so they, you know, it kind of just appeared. Now, he didn't invent the concept. It was the CDC that proposed it. It wasn't him that proposed it. But Anthony Fauci, in a congressional hearing this week, just kind of explaining where this came from, because there were a whole lot of different dimensions of his input and responsibility for all different kinds of management of response to the pandemic. And obviously, the social distancing and masking were a part of it.
CDC used for their reason to say 6 feet is that studies years ago showed that when you're dealing with droplets, which at the time that the CDC made that recommendation, it was felt that the transmission was primarily through droplet, not aerosol, which is incorrect because we know now aerosol does play a role. That's the reason why they did it. It had little to do with me since I didn't make the recommendation. And my saying there was no science behind it means there was no clinical trial that proved that.
As opposed to other distances, right? And so he's pretty well explained that. Also, one of the ongoing questions is the origin, and to what degree is the origin, whether natural origin or origin in the lab, and who's responsible for this, and was the NIH involved in funding a subgrant recipient, EquiHealth, that did work that might have led to, and the answer is no. But, you know, did Anthony Fauci try to suppress the idea of a lab leak or not? I think the answer also is no, clearly based on the evidence, but other people have advanced a very different narrative based on a sort of whole cloud of theories about what was really going on here. But anyway, on this issue of whether he's open to the lab leak explanation or not.
Also been very, very clear and said multiple times that I don't think the concept of there being a lab leak is inherently a conspiracy theory. What is conspiracy is the kind of distortions of that particular subject, like it was a lab leak and I was parachuted into the CIA like Jason Bourne and told the CIA that they should really not be talking about a lab leak.
Thank you.
That's the conspiracy.
Appreciate that.
There really are people who believe this nonsense. I mean, there really are. It's so crazy. Okay, so Debbie Dingell, who is a Democrat, was just bringing to light what the chairman apologized for and wish had not happened, the threats against Anthony Fauci, and what she wanted him to do is describe what's been going on in your life since all of the various kinds of misinformation about him have come out and been advocated mostly by Republicans, unfortunately.
So, Dr. Fauci, can you please share with us the nature of the threats you have received since the start of the COVID-19 pandemic?
Yes, there have been everything from harassments by emails, texts, letters of myself, my wife, my three daughters. There have been credible death threats leading to the arrests of two individuals, and credible death threats mean someone who clearly was on their way to kill me. And it's required my having protective services essentially all the time. It is very troublesome to me. It is much more troublesome because they've involved my wife and my three daughters.
At these moments, how do you feel? Keep your mic on.
Terrible.
Do you continue to receive threats today?
Yes, I do. Every time someone gets up and says I'm responsible for the death of people throughout the world, the death threats go up.
So, a little bit later on in the conversation...
I now recognize Ms. Green from Georgia for 5 minutes of questions.
Oh, God. Oh, God. Well, we'll tell you what happened in just a second. We've got John Pickens, our new morning show producer, has traffic on the fives.
That's right. I-10, I-110 flowing very smoothly. We had that accident on Rains Court in Olive Road, but that seems to be off to the side and no roadblock with that. First responders are on the scene. That's a look at your traffic. I'm John Pickens with Traffic on the Five.
Thanks so much. All right, so now the moment that maybe we've been all waiting for. Marjorie Taylor Greene is going to make a complete embarrassment of herself and the Republican Party. Here goes.
Mr. Fauci, you were quoted on CBS Face the Nation saying it's easy to criticize, but they're really criticizing science because I represent science. Do you represent science, Mr. Fauci?
I am a scientist who uses the scientific method to gain information.
Yes, you said you represent science. Do you represent science, Mr. Fauci? Yes
again,
or no? Yes or no?
No, that's not a yes or no answer.
Yes, it's a yes or no.
I don't think it is.
Okay, well, we'll take that as a you don't know what you represent.
Oh, I...
or she's an idiot.
Mr. Fauci, you also represent the type of science... that you, where you confess that you made up the COVID rules, including 6 feet social distancing and masking of children.
I never said I made anything up.
You admitted that you made it up. You made it up as you went.
I made it up.
So are you saying this is fake news, Mr. Fauci?
I didn't say I made anything up.
What did you say?
I said that it is not based in science and it just appeared.
But this is science.
What does dogs have to do with anything that we're talking about today?
These are scientific experiments. This is what you signed off on.
Oh, yeah, there's this whole other side note about these dog experiments or whatever that was, again, so completely unrelated to anything they were talking about. But the fake news is the things that you're alleging and asking and apparently not listening to the answers, Miss Green.
Is it right for... scientists and doctors getting paid by the American people, government taxpayer paychecks to get patents where they're paid millions and hundreds of millions of dollars in royalty fees, especially when the NIH and these government agencies, most powerful agencies in our country, are recommending medical suggestions and advice and making up guidelines like 6 feet distancing and masking of children. Do you think that's appropriate? Do the American people deserve to be abused like that, Mr. Fauci? Because you're not doctor. You're Mr. Fauci in my few minutes. No, I don't need your answer. I want to talk about this right here.
Mr. Chairman, objection.
I reclaim my time.
Gentlelady, point of order.
So Jamie Raskin, who was in the hearing, he's not actually officially a member of the committee, but he's one of the people that was involved in this particular hearing.
Mr. Chairman,
point of order.
Just in terms of the rules of decorum, are we allowed to deny that a doctor is a doctor just because we don't want him to be a doctor?
Yes, because in my time, that man does not deserve to have a license. As a matter of fact, it should be revoked, and he belongs in
gentlelady
prison.
Gentlelady, suspend. The gentlelady should recognize the doctor. As a doctor.
Correct.
Thank you. Mr. Chairman, is this what we have become? Is this what we have devolved into? No decorum. You know,
so no decorum, no class, as you might have gotten from Mushmouth and Fat Albert, right? But, you know, just...
I was going to say what Representative Raskin said. That's completely unacceptable to be able to deny Dr. Fauci, who's here, a respected member of the medical community, his title, and that's actually a personal attack on his character.
And I have instructed her.
He's not respected.
And I've instructed her to address him as a doctor.
I'm not addressing him as a doctor. Let's talk about this. I'm reclaiming my time.
Words get taken down.
I'm reclaiming my time.
Second that.
Point of order.
Suspend.
So this is now the second hearing in a couple of weeks where Marjorie Taylor Greene, the train wreck from Georgia, has just made herself the mockery, the laughingstock of the nation's government. It's embarrassing. I mean, it's one thing when Milton is dysfunctional. You know, it's one thing when the Santa Rosa County Commission or the Escambia County Commission is dysfunctional. I don't have words. It's incredibly embarrassing to me as an American Republican that somebody this incapable of functioning in her job represents my party. Now, there are Democrats who are embarrassing, too, and there are other Republicans who are embarrassing, but this is a consistent pattern of imbecility. Period. Hank Johnson asked if Guam would tip over when we stay. Yes, embarrassing. Marjorie Taylor Greene just making up things and alleging them, and I guess I don't, you know what the problem is? I don't get it. I don't understand when people go into these hearings where they're going to have experts available, why they don't. And some of them do. Some Democrats and some Republicans did a really good job of asking useful questions about which we got useful answers. Other people think of this as a chance to, I don't know what, score points, make videos, get clicks on Twitter or whatever. And I just don't understand that approach. It's fundamentally uncivilized, contrary to the purpose of having these committees. And so it's just stupid. 721 on News Radio Pensacola. Other people engage in it to a lesser degree, but she is just the pinnacle of incompetence in government. Now, here's what I thought was interesting. A little bit later on in the conversation, we did learn some other things that, you know, were actually quite fascinating. Again, if you're trying to learn, there's stuff to be learned. Like, for example, you know, one of the real problems that we ran into during the pandemic was the inability of the federal government, the CDC, to get good real-time on-the-ground information from local health agencies. That was a problem. And even Jared Moskowitz, who ran response in the state of Florida and is now an elected congressman, they kind of talked about that. That's important. That's something we should be better at. That's something that, like, when they're having to watch Germany and Israel in order to get information about how the, you know, how treatments are working and how therapies are working and how, you know, inoculations are working. And, like, that shouldn't be. They should be able to get that information locally, and we just couldn't. But also just things like, for example, did we ever or have we even achieved the position of what you might call herd immunity? That's a good question.
Between infection-acquired immunity and vaccinated-acquired immunity, did the United States hit herd immunity?
The answer is no, and I've written a paper on that, is that when you're dealing, and just let me take 30 seconds, I don't want to run out the clock on you, but I think it's important to make this point. When you talk about herd immunity, it's predicated on two principles, that you're dealing with a pathogen that's not changing. And number two, that when you either get infected or vaccinated, the duration of the immunity is measured in decades, if not a lifetime. So that if you have a pathogen that stays the same, like measles, doesn't change. So I was infected with measles when I was a child. It's the same measles that's infecting people in certain countries in the developing world. Number two, when you get either infected or vaccinated with measles, you have immunity that's durable minimally in decades and possibly for life. So if you get the same pathogen and you get a large percentage of the people who have either been infected or vaccinated, then you have herd immunity. We did not ever have that with COVID.
And that's a really clear explanation of how even today people are getting it and dying from it today, because we never acquired herd immunity. And really, with this particular virus, you can't acquire herd immunity because they keep mutating and because the ability to resist the disease is not nearly as enduring as something like, for example, you know, mumps or measles or something like that. So I found that to be really good information, you know, and I'm, for one, glad to, I mean, I had to get all the way into 3 hours through it when they gave staff time. That was actually kind of an interesting thing I'd never heard before, where they gave, it was all the electeds, And then they gave staff the chance to interview Fauci. And that was really interesting because the staff doesn't have to get elected. The staff can just ask the right questions. They can be nuanced. They can refer to the information of the hundreds of thousands of pages of documents that they've already gone through. So very interesting. One last quick thing, though, is, you know, this question of origin. And again, his answer on origin is we don't know. We still don't know. It's not a conspiracy to believe there might have been a lab leak, although some varieties of the lab leak are a conspiracy. We don't know whether it was natural. We don't know whether it was a lab leak. He tends to believe, Fauci tends to believe that it was a natural, but there's certainly room to believe that it was a lab leak. The one thing we do know is that it didn't come from the research being done by EquiHealth under the NIH grant. That's the one part we actually do know that. We just don't know where it actually did come from. John Pickens has traffic on the fives.
That's right. Everything is flowing smoothly this morning. I-10, I-110, even Highway 90 East Milton, all looking good right now. I'm John Pickens with traffic on the fives.
Here's today's Strength for Life.
June 6th is D-Day. The Allied forces of America came together to storm the beaches of Normandy during World War II. That invasion released the control maintained by Nazi Germany. As those brave men fearlessly stormed those beaches, it's estimated that there were some 10,000 casualties. D-Day is an example of heroes sacrificing their lives for a cause greater than themselves, the cause of freedom. Interestingly, in Romans 12, 1 and 2, Christians are also called to sacrifice their lives for a cause greater than ourselves, the cause of Christ. As we willingly allow the Holy Spirit to invade our hearts, He will release control attempted by the world, the flesh, and the devil. A spiritual battle exists in the heart of every Christian, so be sure to put on the whole armor of God. It's then that God can use you, Christian soldier, to accomplish fearless things for His honor and glory.
For more Strength for Life, please visit our website, strengthforlife.church.
Remember when washing machines were made in America, were solidly built, and actually got your clothes clean? They aren't a thing of the past. They are Speed Queen, and they are available at Tops Appliance. Speed Queen washer and dryers combine durability and technology into the best washers and dryers in the world. Speed Queen will change the way you think about washing machines. They're built to last longer and deliver exceptional wash results. Unlike many other washers and dryers with plastic parts, Speed Queen uses commercial-grade steel and porcelain components designed to give you at least 25 years of reliable, trouble-free operation. That's why they come with lifetime warranties, the best warranties in the business. See store for warranty details. Speed Queen washers and dryers are built to work and built to last. If you want durability, innovation, and perfectly done laundry the first time, then you want Speed Queen. See these great Speed Queen washers and dryers for yourself at Tops Appliance on Highway 90 in Milton, just east of Stewart Street.
The Pensacola Little Theater presents the pop cultural phenomenon Rent from June 7th through the 23rd. See this stage spectacular with songs that rock and a story that resonates with audiences of all ages. Rent follows a year in the life of a group of impoverished young artists and musicians struggling to survive and create in New York's Lower East Side. See how these young bohemians negotiate their dreams, loves, and conflicts in this groundbreaking musical. Tickets are available at the PLT box office or at PensacolaLittleTheater.com.
Stewart with the University of West Florida. Since 1969, UWF has offered graduate programs to provide expanded education and training for professionals in Northwest Florida. Join members of the UWF Graduate School on the Pensacola Expert Panel as they discuss graduate programs at UWF and the resources provided to prospective students. That's today at 9 a.m. on the Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3.
Hurricane season is here, and now is the time to make a plan and know your zone. In the case of an evacuation, have a plan to go to a hurricane shelter, hotel, or stay with a family or friends. If you're ordered to evacuate, you need to leave. You can rebuild your home, but you cannot rebuild your life. This hurricane season, know your zone. Know your home. Learn more at floridadisaster.org. This message is sponsored by the Florida Division of Emergency Management, the Florida Association of Broadcasters, and this radio station.
Pensacola right now with Joe and Austin.
It's like headline news for radio. Every day, 4 to 7 on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Unfortunately, no one can be told what the Matrix is. You have to see it for yourself.
Good morning, 729 here on News Radio Pensacola. Let's go to David Wayne in the newsroom for a very quick headline. David?
Well, Russian President Vladimir Putin says he would consider deploying missiles within striking distance of the United States and Europe if they let Ukraine use Western weapons to strike inside Russian territory. Putin, of course, calling it a serious escalation.
Yeah. Also, we just watched President Trump walking, away after the speech, John, is what you said?
Yes.
And you could visibly see Jill assisting him in walking away.
Very much so.
Yeah, which just is.
Fox News, I'm Chris Foster. President Biden is in Normandy, France, where 80 years ago today, D-Day, nearly 160,000 American and Allied troops stormed the beaches to fight Nazi Germany. 4,414 died that day alone.
Many survived that longest day, kept on fighting for months until victory was finally won. And a few, a notable band of brothers, are here with us today.
The president has a ceremony in Normandy after meeting with some of those American veterans. A toddler is killed in a tornado strike in Michigan.
A two-year-old was killed and his mother was hurt when it struck their neighborhood, uprooting a massive tree that fell on the home where they were sleeping. In Maryland, a large tree fell on a home, trapping five people inside, one with traumatic injuries. Crews are going door to door to check on people.
Fox's Tanya J. Powers. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning. It's 7:31 right now. News Radio Pensacola. I'm David Wayne. It is a beautiful morning. 81 degrees right now. Mostly cloudy skies in Pensacola. The Fort Walton Beach woman charged with killing her infant son back in 2020 will spend life in prison. 35-year-old Maria Rodriguez Barnes was sentenced yesterday on first-degree murder charges. Prosecutors say she shot and killed her five-month-old son, Jackson Barnes, in an attempted murder-suicide. She was reportedly upset after her husband had asked for a divorce. Barnes was found guilty yesterday afternoon. Governor DeSantis has now signed the Cassie Carley Law. With more on that, News Radio's Joe Ford.
House Bill 385, dubbed Cassie Carley's Law, will ensure that every county in the state provides a safe location for parents to safely exchange custody of their children. It was back in March of 2022 when Carley went missing and her body was found several days later in a shallow grave in Alabama following a custody exchange with the child's father, Marcus Spanavello. Spanavello awaits trial on federal charges of kidnapping and abuse of a corpse. The new law requires county sheriff's offices to set up the well-lit safe location along with 24-hour surveillance. Joe Ford, News Radio, Pensacola.
Thank you very much, Joe. Family members have identified the 17-year-old victim of a shooting in Escambia County earlier this week as Kyan DeCray Thompson. Her father provided a statement to Channel 3 saying, in part, she wanted to be a model and she one day hoped to enter the cosmetology field. He says Kyan loved her friends, was a great friend, an amazing sister, and the best daughter. End quote. She was reportedly shot at a home on Montclair Road on Monday afternoon. So far, no suspects have officially been announced, but at last check, the sheriff's office was still looking for three teenagers that may have information on that shooting. Those are 16-year-old Glenn Janes III, 18-year-olds Michael Falader and Zane Cook. And at this time, those teens are wanted for questioning. If you have any information on their location, you are encouraged to contact the sheriff's office or to call Crime Stoppers. Well, we're about 4 months out now from a new law that'll ban the homeless from camping in public taking effect. That law, signed a while back by Governor DeSantis, it'll require local communities to set up safe camps and offer help for things like mental health or substance abuse. Some homeless advocates say the plan could have positive results, but the deadline is just coming up too soon.
I don't think there's enough time for us to put together a good plan. As far as the lawsuit capabilities go, is if we don't put the plan together in time and it triggers the ability for lawsuits, that's going to eat up what money would be available to provide these services.
Michael Kimbrell is the director of the Alfred Washburn Center. Escambia County officials say they're planning to partner with local agencies to provide those services. And Some Florida lawmakers now reacting after a delegation from Cuba was somehow able to access secure areas at the Miami International Airport recently. Senator Marco Rubio announcing yesterday he and Congressman Carlos Jimenez have now introduced the Secure Airports from Enemies Act. And Rubio says that bill comes just about a month now after a group from Cuba was able to tour TSA facilities, including parts of the airport not open to the public. It's 7:35. And John Pickens has a look at our traffic on the fives.
That's right. Everything's flowing smoothly right now. I-10, I-110 are looking good. That's a look at your traffic. I'm John Pickens with traffic on the fives.
John, one day and traffic is flowing completely smooth. I give you all of the credits, sir.
Well, thank you.
It's 7:35. Let's get a look at our Channel 3 weather forecast.
We are going to be seeing some scattered showers and thunderstorms throughout the day today. 70% chance of rain overall, high near 88 degrees. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 76. Beautiful and sunny for Friday with plenty of sunshine, high near 92. Low Friday night near 70 degrees. Keeping the sunshine around on Saturday with a high near 92 and a low near 73. Stay connected to Channel 3 News First Warning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
Thank you very much, Brooke. It's 82 right now in Pennsylvania. Cola, 81 in Gulf Breeze, 81 also in Milton. Your next news at 8 o'clock. Breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne for News Radio Pensacola. Informative, local, dependable.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. Boeing CEO Dave Calhoun will testify before a Senate panel on June 18th to answer lawmaker questions about whistleblower allegations and quality control issues. The hearing comes after a company engineer alleged the company took shortcuts when manufacturing its 787 Dreamliner fleet, reducing their lifespans. Boeing has denied all the allegations. Calhoun is already set to step down as CEO in March. Bulgarian-funded corporate card startup Payhawk said it is targeting acquisitions to help grow its footprint in the U.S. Payhawk's acquisition drive comes after considerable growth for the fintech firm, which said it saw an 84% increase in revenue for the first quarter. Futures are mixed. Wednesday, the Dow Industrials gained 96, the NASDAQ up 330, and the S&P 500 up 62. Once again, futures are mixed. That's your money now.
Pensacola Scenic 90 Cafe has been shining bright with some of the best Southern-style home-cooked food around for 25 years. And to celebrate their big anniversary this June, you get the gifts with 25% off lunch and dinner entrees all June long. That shrimp and crawfish Savannah? Yes, perfectly cooked ribeye, 25% off. It's happening through June at the Diner's Home at 701 Scenic Highway in East Pensacola Heights. For more information on Scenic 90, visit them at scenic90cafe.com.
News Radio Pensacola is your trusted source for hurricane coverage. We have a team of experienced broadcast experts who are dedicated to keeping you informed about the latest weather conditions and forecasts. We'll provide you with up-to-the-minute updates on any developing storms, as well as safety tips and information on how to prepare for a hurricane. So for the latest hurricane coverage, stay tuned to News Radio Pensacola on AM 1620, 92.3, 95.3, and on HD Radio at 98.7. We'll keep you safe. Are you hungry for news that keeps you informed, is local and dependable? Look no further than News Radio Pensacola on 92.3, 95.3, and on AM 1620. We're your trusted source for all the latest happenings in the Emerald Coast. From breaking news to in-depth reports, we've got you covered. Our team of experienced journalists brings you the stories that matter most to our community. Stay connected with local events, weather updates, and traffic reports, ensuring you're always one step ahead. We're News Radio Pensacola. Informative, local, dependable.
Good morning, 7:39, News Radio Pensacola. I'm Andrew McKay. Good to have you with us on Thursday. Joining us now by phone, we have Mike Wood. He is the Public Information Officer for the Pensacola Police Department. Hey, Mike, welcome back to the show, sir.
Good morning.
Good morning. Good to have you. So, had a couple of incidents over the course of the last week. One was a fire set, I guess, on a car in Cordova Park. And I guess this is also pretty close to where Pam Childers, the clerk of the court, lives. Is that right?
Yes. That happened over the weekend. I believe it was early Sunday morning.
And it was arson. Is there any reason to believe that it was connected to her in any way? Or, I mean, what do we know?
Well, right now the investigation is continuing. All that I can tell you is that the fire was determined to be arson, and we're getting assistance from the state fire marshal's office, and that's about all I can say on that at this point.
All right, fair enough. Obviously, sometimes we just have to wait to find things out, which is, I understand. We also had a shooting on Palafox, which is pretty concerning, at night near Intendencia. Is that right?
Yeah, and you know how Palafox is crowded. We're very fortunate that when that shot was fired, that shrapnel hit some people, caused some minor injuries. And, you know, we're fortunate it was no more than that. Patrol got down there, got to work very quickly, and we eventually made an arrest on that. So we also had a female that was hit in the head with a glass bottle that received injury. So there was a disturbance that turned into a fight with a shot fired. So, you know, we want to make it clear, and we've done this 100 times, and we're going to keep saying this, that the Chief Randall and the Pensacola Police Department is not going to tolerate gun violence in the city of Pensacola. And I'm going to get on top of this as fast as possible to make an arrest. We just want to put the word out there to just put the guns down. They have no place in downtown Pensacola.
And so were the people, had they come from like a bar? This is late at night, right? This is overnight, right?
Yeah, and I don't have the particulars, but because of what time it happened, the bars are about the only things that are open down there. So, but I can't attach it to any particular location.
And it is, you know, people who get involved in these things aren't necessarily law obedient to begin with, but it is worth reminding people that it is illegal to concealed carry in an establishment that primarily makes its money by serving alcohol. It is also illegal to carry a gun if you're inebriated, right?
That's correct. Those are little, you know, but most of the time these people aren't
right.
Don't have the carrying concealed weapons permits and things like that. And, you know, those things are for people that go by the law, and we certainly appreciate that. We respect their rights to do so. And most people that have those permits do exactly what they're supposed to do the way they're supposed to do it.
Very good. How has noise enforcement been going?
Going good. I think we're close to 70 citations now. I'll have to go back and look. That's just off the top of my head. Most of these violations are the loud mufflers and the music, but we've had other things. We've had some felony arrests made, some warrants served because of this. So I mean, we talked about it last week. If you've got warrants on you, you probably need to turn the music down, so you don't get the attention of the police. That'd be a good idea.
So I have a crazy idea, which, you know me, I have a lot of crazy ideas, but you hear me out on my crazy idea, right? So we've had all these catalytic converter thieves, right, who are doing horrible, terrible, bad things, and it's awful, and we've arrested them. Maybe we could hire the catalytic converter thieves and teach them how to do muffler conversions, and then we could employ them in the act of remedying the loud mufflers, which are not necessarily so easy to just turn off the way you could turn down the music. Am I onto something here?
Quite possibly. Let me sit back and watch and see how that works out, and then I'll get back with you.
I love that you indulge me.
That's all
I got to say.
That's the best I can do,
I got you. Hey, so this is going to seem like maybe a little bit silly, but I actually think I'm kind of curious what you think about this. The bridge lights are on, red, white, and blue by the governor's mandate. And, you know, in spite of whatever objections might have been raised by whoever's keeping it from, but they're on. Okay, they're on. One of the things that somebody observed to me was, and I know from driving over it, that when you're coming from Gulf Breeze, and you know, the bridge bends and you can see the lights a little bit on the side. They said, when I see the bridge lights, it makes me think that there's cops on the bridge. Have we seen a deterrent effect of any kind in terms of speed by the very understandable perception that those lights kind of look like cops? And I don't know whether there's cops on the bridge or not. Is there anything like that that you've seen?
Not that I'm aware of, but if it works, it works. We'll take it.
We'll take the win if it happens to be. I appreciate that. Yeah. Hey, this is also one of these, like, I really just don't know. Okay, we kind of had some jokes about, you know, Hunter Biden, a testimony yesterday from his ex-girlfriend that, you know, he used crack and used it like every 20 minutes, which to me seemed like a lot. You know, I don't know what's normal in this regard. I have no idea. That seems ridiculous to me that somebody would be using crack every 20 minutes. You've had a lot more experience with drug users, addicts, and things like this. I mean, is that just what that lifestyle looks like? Do you even know? Do you feel comfortable saying anything about that? Because I really have no idea.
The only thing I can feel comfortable saying is everybody's different. Their bodies are different. It's just like alcohol intake. But obviously crack is a lot more dangerous. So every 20 minutes, that's something that I would have to guess on. And I probably don't need to be doing that. It seems like a lot to me.
Okay. And that's what I thought too. But I just, you know, having no experience in this realm, I thought that, you know, maybe you'd have a perspective on it. Do you have a cop myth or a did you know for us this week?
Well, yeah, I do. And it's about myths and misunderstandings when it comes to domestic violence and who can be charged with domestic violence as opposed to battery. And so domestic violence encompasses wives and husbands, ex-wives and ex-husbands, people related either by blood or marriage, people who live together as a family, people who used to live together as a family, people who share a child in common. It doesn't matter if they were ever married or lived together. That's the big one right there that people need to remember. That does fall under domestic violence. And these charges can be misdemeanors or felonies depending on how many offenses a suspect has been charged with previously and the seriousness of the injuries. There are also certain situations, Andrew, where domestic violence situation may be prosecuted at the federal level. And that's has to do with the Violence Against Women Act that was passed in 1994. Now, this would involve taking people across state lines or international lines and other criteria. And also, the Violence Against Women Act also protects men, despite the name.
No, that makes perfect sense because it's the category of violence, not the gender involved in it. And, you know, so same-sex relationships, all that stuff is encompassed within this. Now, it's interesting. So it's kind of, if I say this wrong, you correct me, but it's almost like an enhancement to what would otherwise be, you might say, ordinary battery. Battery against a domestic relation is an enhancement, and so it gets worse penalties. Do I have that right?
Yes, you do. And it's something that's taken very, very seriously in the state of Florida, actually in most states, that domestic violence is something that will not be tolerated. It's not something that police officers in Florida anyway have any say-so in. I mean, if we know that domestic violence occurred under any of that criteria that I just listed, we're going to make an arrest. We're not going to just warn them to settle down and go to bed and sleep it off. Somebody's going to have to go to jail in a situation like that.
Very good. Mike Wood is a public information officer for the Pensacola Police Department. As always, Mike, thank you for the time. Thank you for indulging my sometimes weird questions. I appreciate that. And thanks for keeping us informed and safe, sir. We'll talk to you again next week.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
7:47 here on News Radio Pensacola. In case you had not heard, Jimmy is not with us on this show anymore. That's because the schedule just didn't work for him. He loved doing it. I loved having him. But just the schedule didn't work for him, as you know, being in music and working gigs. And now it's the summer, so being a bartender and working late and getting up in the morning. And he thought he could do it, and he just cannot. So John Pickens, who has been a longtime employee with us here at News Radio and Cat Country especially, is our new morning show producer. You'll probably hear Jimmy's voice occasionally here and there on different things. He's actually likely to come in here again this morning for a little bit to help train John. Love him, wish him the best, and hate that he has to go, but glad that John's here.
Well,
so
appreciate it.
Traffic on the fives. Go ahead, John.
That's right. Traffic on the fives right now. We're looking at I-10, I-110 are all flowing smoothly. No accidents to hamper your way in. I'm John Pickens with Traffic on the Fives.
You know, Pensacola State College is just a fantastic resource. You know, obviously, if you want to learn a new trade or you want to kind of go back to school, if you want, you know, after high school, you want something that's more of a transition to university, or you're just looking for a two-year degree, whatever the case may be. In our case, we had homeschool students who needed to get dual enrolled so that they could get college credit while they're going to high school, and both of my older kids did. They each took about 3 years of dual enrollment. That means four free. You don't have to pay for classes. You don't have to pay for books. You get college and high school credit at the same time. And then when they went off to university, they go with a year and a half under their belt as sophomores and a half, which is pretty sweet. Plus, you know, they the ones who didn't have, you know, my oldest had never been to school. And so he got classroom experience, which was nice for him in the sort of transitional environment to university that PSC is. Very accommodating professors, a wide variety of section times and teachers that you can choose from. If you know, hey, we like this one, let's do this one again. Just a great resource for traditional or non-traditional students. Locations in Pensacola, Warrington, Milton, Century, South Santa Rosa, downtown Pensacola, and Santa Rosa Industrial Park East. Find out what PSC can do to help you reach your future goals at PensacolaState.edu.
Delicious seafood is what you'll find at Davis Catfish House. Davis Catfish serves only the best Mississippi catfish, fresh Gulf seafood, and delicious homemade sides. Weekday specials include two times Tuesday, six free shrimp added to the six-piece dinner. Wednesdays offer lunch basket specials. And everybody's favorite, Shrimp-tastic Thursday, $5 off all-you-can-eat shrimp.
Serving fresh seafood daily. Visit David's Catfish House on Dogwood Drive in Milton. See you at David's.
Are you ready to kickstart your career or make a change in your current career? George Stone Technical College offers short-term, hands-on programs that equip you with industry-recognized certifications in fields that offer jobs right here in Pensacola or abroad. George Stone Technical College offers 25 different career programs and can provide you with a career in a year. George Stone offers financial aid and has grant opportunities for all students right now. To learn about all the programs, costs, and schedules, visit georgestonecollege.edu.
You know what you want to do in retirement, but do you know how to get there? Tune in to What Your Money Would Say with Andrew McNair of Swan Capital, Saturdays at 1 to get answers to your retirement planning questions. Plan today so you can do all the things you've dreamt about doing in retirement. Don't miss What Your Money Would Say with Andrew McNair, Saturdays at 1. Firm offers insurance services. Advisory services offered through Swan Capital, LLC.
When life spells heartburn, how do you spell relief? R-O-L-A-I-D-S.
What about when life spells fried chicken?
R-O-L-A-I-D-S.
Fourth cup of coffee?
Still R-O-L-A-I-D-S.
Extra cheesy pizza?
Rolaids always spells relief. Rolaids' powerful dual-active formula begins neutralizing acid on contact to fight your heartburn fast. So, when life spells heartburn, Rolaids spells relief. Use as directed. Keep out of reach of children.
Local experts share their expertise on the Pensacola Expert Panel. It's Pep Talk on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
And Oliver has run himself over. What a great trip.
We can dance if we want to. We can leave your friends behind. Cause your friends don't dance, and if they don't dance, well, they're no friends of mine.
Good morning, 751 here on News Radio Pensacola. I'm Andrew McKay. It's a Pensacola morning news, and of course, this day, June 6th, is a sobering and great and horrific and amazing day in the history of human events, because this was the day that finally we began what would eventually lead to the eradication of the Nazi occupation of all of Europe, basically.
This is London calling in the overseas service of the BBC. In a few moments, His Majesty the King will speak to his people at home and overseas.
4 years ago, our nation and empire stood alone against an overwhelming enemy with our backs to the wall, tested as never before in our history. In God's providence, we survived that test.
King George VI speaking back on D-Day on June the 6th of 1944.
Once more, a supreme test has to be faced. This time, the challenge is not to fight to survive, but to fight to win the final victory for the good cause.
And they had seen World War I, they had known the horrors of that, and they were hoping that they would never have to do this again. But of course, they found themselves in the position of exactly having to do this again.
Once again, what is demanded from us all is something more than courage, more than endurance. We needed a revival of spirit, a new, unconquerable resolve.
Absolutely. Against a kind of evil that we had never seen in modern history.
After nearly 5 years of toil and suffering, we must renew that crusading impulse on which we entered the war and met its darkest hour. We and our allies are sure that our fight is against evil and for a world in which goodness and honor may be the foundation of the life of men in every land.
And, you know, I talked about this last hour, but it's still worth, I think, repeating that in 1944, they didn't know what was going to happen. And certainly the British really were not sure what was going to happen. They had been paying the price of Nazi attacks for years, and they couldn't possibly have known with the kind of certainty that we have looking back that, well, this is all going to work out. It's going to cost a lot of lives, but it's going to work. We're going to win. They didn't know. They were hoping that this unbelievably inventive and imaginative and calculated and complicated attack on the beaches at Normandy, they hoped it would work, that it would start something which would allow them to eventually liberate France and, of course, we know now liberate the entire continent. But, man, at this time it was a, oh, my God, I hope this works, and an emphasis on the oh, my God part.
We shall ask. Not that God may do our will, but that we may be enabled to do the will of God. And we dare to believe that God has used our nation and empire as an instrument for fulfilling His high purpose.
Amen to that. And, you know, I mentioned this again last hour, but it's worth mentioning again that you think about us as a naval town, you think of the Panhandle as a military, you know, Panhandle with the Air Force and, of course, you know, training at Fort Rucker for the Army. And, you know, we have Air Force located on NAS Pensacola, plus, of course, the Navy and the Marines, the Coast Guard. The reason we invest in the military, the reason we train, the reason we continually prepare for war and have the most fearsome, dominant military in the history of mankind through this nation's activity, so we don't ever have to do this again. You have to prepare as if you might and plan to win in order to prevent your enemies from doing what would put us in a position of ever having to do this again. But yet, we have men and women right now engaged in active conflicts around the world, safeguarding the peace, safeguarding the rights of other people and ourselves by extension, and prayers for their safety and prayers for the mission, prayers that we never have to do a third version of what we have already done twice in terms of a global conflict. That's why you prepare for it so that it doesn't happen. 757 on News Radio Pensacola. We've got John Pickens is in with traffic on the fives.
That's right. Traffic is looking good right now. I-10, I-110 flowing smoothly. Now, so just seeing a minor backup on Highway 29 getting onto I-10, but other than that, things are looking good. I'm John Pickens with Traffic on the Fives.
Thanks so much, John. Into the newsroom now, where David Wayne stands by with our headlines. David?
Well, President Biden marking D-Day in Normandy at the American Cemetery and Memorial. He drew some comparisons between the Allied fight in World War II and the war today in Ukraine.
Ukraine has been invaded by a tyrant bent on domination. Ukrainians are fighting with extraordinary courage, suffering great losses, but never backing down.
And Ukraine has been using some U.S. weapons to strike targets inside of Russia. That prompted a response from Vladimir Putin, who says he's considering deploying missiles in striking distance of the U.S. and Europe. Six people have been arrested in connection with a shooting outside of the U.S. embassy in Beirut. A Lebanese guard injured in that shooting Wednesday morning. Local authorities say the alleged gunman was shot by the Lebanese army, currently being treated at a local hospital. And Andrew, a North Carolina man, says a large piece of debris that fell on his house may have come from outer space. Mike Wooten said he heard a thump on his roof. At first, he thought it was a crow. Turned out it was not a crow. It was a large object. He found it in his yard. He thinks it came from the SpaceX Dragon capsule that launched in August and about an hour away. Another man found an even bigger piece of debris that came from the same craft.
Debris 9 from outer space? Is that what you're telling me?
Yes.
The worst debris ever made? All right.
The biggest.
A little bit of a callback
most
there.
Impressive debris.
Listen on air at 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620. News Radio 92.3. WNRP Gulf Breeze, Milton, Pensacola.